Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, it's good to be here, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have a few announcements. Actually, just one announcement, and then we'll get into our offering scripture. And then we're going to worship God, and then we're going to teach and preach the Word of God. Amen? Awesome. Well, just real quick, there is no Wednesday night service next week due to the Pastor Scott Webb meetings in Fredonia Church. And I just want to encourage you, you know, the reason we're not having Wednesday is because you have an opportunity to get a lot of feeding in on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night. You say, man, I don't want to drive all the way to Fredonia. Let me tell you what, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth the gas money. It'll be worth your time. He is a phenomenal teacher of the Bible. You all that were here for the Durant meetings, you saw the kind of caliber of ministers that we'll bring in. And Pastor Webb is actually the Durant's pastor. He's not pastoring anymore. He's traveling the world. But up until about last year, he was the people that were here. He was their pastor. And so he is just a phenomenal teacher of faith, the Word of God. And so I just encourage you, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, all of them would be great. Two of them would be good. And one of them would be okay, right? To be better than zero, right? And so we're not having a Wednesday night service. So if you can be at those services, Sunday night will be at 6 o'clock in Fredonia. Monday and Tuesday will be at 7 p.m. For people working, giving people a little extra time. And again, I promise you as a pastor, I wouldn't tell you anything that would burden you to make you give up a night or to give up gas money or to give up, put mileage on your car. I'd only tell you that you need to be there because you'll be blessed for going. And I guarantee that if you go to any of those meetings, you'll say, man, I'm sure glad that I came tonight. And so Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and that's why we're not having Wednesday night, because I'm going to be partaking of all those meetings there, and you have an opportunity to do so as well. You know, let me on the heels of that say this. The Bible says that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Well, I stand in the office of a pastor. Pastor Webb stood in the office of the pastor. He doesn't anymore. He actually stands in the office of a teacher and a prophet. And I'll tell you, the Bible says we need all those gifts to perfect us. It's not just the pastor in your life that's going to help perfect you. It's all the gifts in the body of Christ. And so make yourself available to go to those. You will not regret it. And, you know, it's just a little bit extra drive down the road, and it'll be worth it for you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, you're ready to be a blessing?
Yeah.
I am ready to be a blessing. Open to Malachi chapter 3. I know it's a scripture we use a lot on Sunday mornings. And I want to just thank Caitlin. She's training, and we're just throwing her right in the fire, doing the overhead. And so this is her first time. And, you know, she'll probably get real quick at this, but if it takes her a little longer, she's learning the system back there. But that's why it's important to bring her own Bibles, amen? And if you don't have one, I'll get one for you. But Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Is it working back there for you, Caitlin? There it is. See, you got it. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, I know this is a scripture we bring up a lot of times on Sunday morning, but this just came in my heart about 10 minutes ago in my office as I was praying. And I want to read it to you and bring out a point in it. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, we know he's not just talking about tithes. He's talking about the tithes specifically being going to the storehouse. But in verse 8, he talks about tithes and offerings. So what he's talking about in context here is giving. And he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Now, this is where I wanted you to see tonight. And prove me now herewith. This is the only place in the Bible where God has told you to prove him or to test him in an area. But he says, what does he want you to prove? He says, be a giver, be a tither, do what I say to do. And he says, improve me and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know what that summarized means? Increase, promotion. Overflow. So why am I bringing that up to you tonight? The Lord actually goes as far out on a limb to say, listen, in one area in the Bible that I am double dog daring you to test me on is with your giving. And so I want to encourage you, if you've been somebody that's been tithing, if you've been somebody that's been a giver, the Lord says to prove him. Because why? He's not a liar. And he says, I will open the windows of heaven. And so you go to the Father and you be bold and say, Lord, I've been a faithful tither. Lord, I'm a faithful giver and I'm proving you now. And I thank you that increase and overflow is coming my way. Amen. Because sometimes when we release it, the thoughts can come. Oh boy, I could have done a lot with that. Or oh, all these things come up, and I sure wish I had that. And the devil will just give you thoughts. Why? He's trying to get you to pull back in your giving. But you just say, Lord, nope, I'm staying faithful. You're not a liar. If it didn't come true, if I didn't increase, if I didn't overflow, then I'd have to stand before you someday in heaven and say, Father, it just didn't work. But it works. Glory to God. You just stay faithful to it. So I brought that out because we have people that are being so faithful and so diligent in their giving. And the Lord says, prove me. Prove me. Prove me. Why? He's going so far to say, it's going to work. I'm not even concerned about it. Amen? Glory to God. So let's be a blessing tonight. Brother, if you'd come forward. Father, we're just honored to be in your house tonight. Lord, there's no other place I'd rather be than right here, right now. And the reason for that is because, Jesus, you're here. You said when two or three gather together in your name, you're there in the midst of us. And Lord, if you're here, then anything is possible. Anything can happen, Father. We don't put you in a box tonight. You be God, Jesus. Lord, I've prepared and I've done what I think is right tonight. But you have your way, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sow seed tonight. Lord, I thank you that the area of giving and the area of tithing, you've told us that we can actually test you. So, Father, we thank you that you've put yourself out on a limb. We thank you that you're not up in heaven worried that it might not work. No, you said, I'm going to stake everything I have. Nothing greater than your own word, Father. And your own word says, go ahead and test me and see if it works. So, Father, we are. And we thank you that it does. And we do increase, Father. And I thank you that as we're faithful, Father, it's not about doing it one time and then taking a week off and then taking a month off. Father, it's about faithfulness. You said the faithful man will abound in blessings. So, Father, I thank you that as we're faithful to obey you in the tithe, and Father, I thank you that as we're faithful to be generous, but not only to be generous on what we want to do, but Father, being generous on what you've told us to do in our hearts, I thank you we'll see that promotion. We'll see that increase. We'll see that financial favor. We'll see that overflow, and we'll see that increase. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the offering bucket goes by, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And when you stand up, get ready to worship. Just shut your flesh off and say, flesh, you can shut up. It's time to worship God from my spirit. You know, a lot of times I think that we'll hide behind the music. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's not wrong to have music. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. As we look through the Bible, we see people praising the Lord with instruments of music and singing. But also, you know, you also look at the life of Jesus and it doesn't make mention of a worship team. Right. Not that I can find anyways. But we know Jesus worshiped God when he prayed the Lord's Prayer. He said, the first thing he said was, our Father who art in heaven. What was he starting his prayer off with? Praise. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy King. What was he doing? He was praising God. He was starting off with praise. And we know this. If we want to be doers of the word, see, sometimes we wonder why we're not getting our healing. It's because we're not doing the word over here. Sometimes we wonder why we're not getting our financial breakthrough. It's because we're not doing the word over here. Well, let's make sure we're doing the word when it comes to praise and worship. I mean, the Durants taught on praise and worship. They hammered it. Why? Because they know that's part of your breakthrough. Well, what does the Bible say? Lifting holy hands. A sacrifice of praise with the fruit of our lips. So we have an opportunity to be doers of the word tonight. We're not going to hide behind the singing and hide behind the guitar. We're just going to lift our voices and we're going to praise God the way Jesus did before he came with any requests, before he came to get anything. He said, I'm putting you first. So that's what we're going to do here. So right now, just begin to lift your voice, lift your hands, and worship him. Lord, we love you. What does that look like? Just tell him you love him. We praise you, Father. We bless you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. You say, Pastor, this makes me extremely uncomfortable. That's why the Lord said it was a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifices aren't always easy. Sacrifices aren't always what we want to do, but we do it because it pleases him. Because lifting our hands blesses the Lord, the Bible says. The Bible says that we bring him a sacrifice of praise. So we worship you, Father, with the fruit of our lips tonight. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we'll not stand here and act like you've not done anything for us. You gave us Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to to perish in eternity. We get to go be with you. We get to have you here on earth as our Father who helps us to overcome, who causes us to increase, who causes us to have victory. We praise you, Father. Everybody, I'll help you worship God. Everybody say this. Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy endureth forever. Amen. You see what you just did there? You just praised God. Begin to keep praising Him. Lord, you're good. Your mercy endureth forever. You are good. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are mighty. When Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, their feet and hands in stocks and the chains, and they were behind the walls, they began at midnight not to complain. They began at midnight not to get quiet. They began at midnight to pray and sing praises unto God. And all the prisoners heard them, and the chains fell off, and the doors opened, and they were set free. Praise God. When the walls of Jericho were standing up, they didn't wait for the walls to fall down. They didn't march around the walls in silence. They began to shout and to lift their voice, and the walls came down because they began to magnify their God. And we're magnifying you here tonight, Father. We're stepping out of our comfort zone into what you have for us. And we praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. We started a series 2 weeks ago, and we're going to pick it up right now. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I'd encourage you to go to live stream and listen. A lot of good stuff. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Is it working back there for you? Got someone new on the overhead tonight. She's doing an awesome job, so appreciate her willingness, and you'll be blessed for it, Caitlin. And so praise God. Now, know, Caitlin, to go to the next scripture, you just got to double-click the one underneath if I'm going real fast. You don't have to type in. If I want to go to verse 6, you don't have to type in verse 6. Just click on underneath it, and it'll go right to it. But Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. We were starting to look at some things. But before we get into any review, before we go forward tonight, let's ask God to be the number one in part of this service. Let him have his way. Father, whatever you want to do tonight, we're open to it. Father, if you wanted us just to sit here and be quiet and listen for you for an hour, we'd do it. Father, if you wanted us just to praise you for an hour, we'd do it. Father, if you wanted us just to sing songs to you for an hour, we'd do it. But Father, it seems good to my heart to go forward and teach tonight. And so, Father, I pray that you do fill my mouth. Interrupt me anytime you want. Lord, may my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you that what is said tonight will be a word in season to people. Holy Ghost, open the eyes of their understanding. Lord, may I say something that will just be a blessing to everybody here tonight, that will hit the bullseye in their own life, that will hit the mark. Lord, you're the only one that knows everything that's going on in everybody's life. I don't. So, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you do fill it. I thank you, Lord, that my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Father, you just give me words from heaven tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that it's a blessing to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, I'm going to read down through verse 10, and then we're just going to take off. It said, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant," now you can just skip to the next one, Caitlin. "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him," verse 7, "I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And we're not going to take a time to look there, but in verse 13, we can see that this guy got his answer, they got his miracle for his servant. But what we saw here is that there was a great problem in somebody's life. In fact, it said that my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Well, we've all been in, maybe we're in right now, or we've been in, or we might encounter grievous situations that look impossible, that look, it seems like you face them all the time. At least it does in my life. The more I grow in God, the more difficult naturally things become, but the more grace and the more power there is. And then you get through it and you're increased and you're at a different level, and then you just are ready for more to come. But there's times that we face, you know, what the Bible calls mountains, grievous situations that look impassable, that look like we can't get over them, that look like there's no way out, that look like there's no help for them. Desperate situations, I guess you could say, or impossible situations. And the awesome thing is here, as we saw that faith changed it, didn't we? And we saw that with the woman with the issue of blood, that faith changed it. We saw it with the Syrophoenician woman who had the daughter who was grievously tormented of a devil. faith changed it. We saw in Mark 11, verse 23, that faith moves mountains. So praise God. Thank God we're not stuck in our desperate situations. Thank God we're not stuck in impossible. Thank God there's always a way with Him. Nothing is too big for our God. And anything is possible to them that believes, Jesus said. So faith takes the impossible and rearranges it and makes it possible. Glory to God. And we saw here that this guy had great faith. But we learned something about this guy's faith. If you could go on to verse 9, Caitlin, chapter 8 and verse 9. He said, I am a man, because he just said in verse 8, he said, you don't need to come to my house, Jesus. Just speak the word only. And then we get the key and the secret behind this guy's faith. He says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. What's he saying? I know a little bit about authority. And he was recognizing the fact that Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. He had obviously heard about him. He had obviously seen some of the things that Jesus had done. And he said, I'm a man under authority. What's he saying? I understand authority. And then he explains. He says, I have soldiers under me. Now, a centurion, a century mark, 100, is somebody that had 100 soldiers under them. He said, I have 100 soldiers under me. And he says, listen, all I got to do is, because he said in verse 8, just speak the word only, Jesus. He's saying, just like with my servants, the only thing I have to do is speak the word. I don't have to get physical with them. I just say, go there, and they go. I just say, come, and they come. It's kind of like the same way with my dog, you know, if you train them right. You know, I say, Wrigley, come here, and she comes. Or Wrigley, get back, and she just goes. I don't have to get up and pick my 55-pound lab up, although I've done that before, and it looks kind of funny. She's half my size, and pick her up and move her. I just say, Wrigley, go. Wrigley, go lay down. Wrigley, go sit. And she does. Why? That's authority. You don't have to work up something or get all... If you have authority, the words are enough. And he's saying, Jesus, I know you have authority over sickness and disease. Just say the word. You don't have to come. Just say the word. So the key to this man's great faith was the fact that he understood authority. And see, a lot of people in the body of Christ, they have no idea the authority that they have on this earth. They have no idea they have authority over sickness and disease. They have no idea they have authority over lack. They have no idea they have authority over fear. They have authority over depression. They have authority over anxiety. And so what they do, because they don't have authority, they just sit back and they let the devil have their way in their life. And the devil will have his way in your life if you let him. And I did say if you let him, because he can't just overpower you. You have to open the door and say, come on in, devil. And a lot of times we don't do that on purpose. We do it in ignorance a lot of time. And so a lot of people are going through things that if they knew they had the authority, just like the police officer, when things are going on and there's a traffic jam and backup, and, you know, there was just the Bus Stuy Apple Fest just down the road from my house, and I've never seen so many cars in Bus Stuy. And they had people there directing traffic, and they had police. And there were big tractor trailers that would stop just at the simple police officer raising his hand, stopping. Now, that tractor trailer, how much did you say they weigh? 40 tons. I don't care if you're a 250-pound strapping man. You're not stopping that thing physically. But because that police officer has authority and has that badge, they just step right out there and say, you stop, this lane, go. And that truck does not move until that police officer says, go this way. Why? Authority, right? Authority. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. If people understood their position, that not only is it's a God-ordained thing, that it's a God-backed thing, it's a God-endorsed thing, it was God's idea. If people would understand that, you would put your foot down and you'd say, no more sickness, no more poverty, no more depression, no more lack, no more fear, no more anything that's not in the Bible. Praise God. If the Bible says I can have it, I'm going to get it and I'm going to use my authority. So we saw he had authority, and I'm only going to take like a total of 5 minutes on this to review, and then we're going to get going. But we saw in Genesis, and we're not going to look up there. You can go back and look at these. But we saw in Genesis chapter 1 that when God created the heavens and the earth, He made everything, and then on day 6, He made the most important creation ever made, which was mankind. He made everything in the world and then put man and woman in the Garden of Eden. And He told them, remember, without taking the time to look there, He says, I'm giving you dominion, or that means to rule, to prevail against or to reign against. He says, I'm giving you dominion over basically everything on the earth. He names some individual things, but then he says, I'm giving you rule and reign over everything on the earth. You're in control. And that's found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24 through 28 if you're taking notes. But the interesting thing is that God Almighty, who had the authority, who had the power, now says, the key's in your hands. It'd be like if I went up to Jeff after service, and I had my key, and I had my title, and I signed that over to him, and I gave him that title and put his name on that, and I gave him the key to that vehicle. Listen, that is no longer Pastor Mike's truck. He can do whatever he wants with it. He can improve it, he can keep it the same, or he can make it worse. Now, if he goes down the road and intentionally smashes it into a fire hydrant or a tree, or intentionally keys it or intentionally slashes the tire and it gets worse, guess what? That's not my problem. And people would say, oh my gosh, do something about it. Do something about it. He's ruining your truck. I'd say, that's not my truck anymore. It's not in my name. And God gave Adam and Eve dominion and control. It's hard for people to understand this, but God took his hands off and said, it's yours to do with what you want to do with it. Amen?
Amen.
And he instructed him. He said, guard it. He said, if to guard it, he was trying to give him a warning, something's coming, and it was the devil. Well, then we saw over there in Genesis chapter 2, remember he said that you can freely eat of all the trees in the garden. Remember? He said, it's all yours. He said, but the one tree don't eat of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat from that tree. Man, they had everything. Isn't it just like the humans? You can have everything, but don't touch this. And what's the only thing you want to touch? The thing you're not supposed to touch. Right? I mean, so many trees to eat of. I mean, it was just them two. It's not like there was a fight for the orange tree or fight for the apple tree. It's like, no, they had everything, but the one thing God told them not to touch. And remember this, we looked at this the 2 weeks ago. Remember the devil came along and lied to him? Said God didn't, because God said if you eat it, you'll die. And he meant spiritually, because they didn't croak right there, but the dying process started and lifespans got less. The things turned to weeds, things turned to prickers that were never there before. Childbirth was now going to be, and read it all, childbirth was now not going to be pleasant anymore. All this because sin and death entered into the earth. And we saw that the devil came along and said, you won't die. In fact, it'll be better for you if you eat it. You'll be a god. Isn't that how the devil works? He lies. You don't need to do that. The word, don't do that. Keep your tithe. Think all the money you'll have at the end of the year. And then the whole time you're robbing God. And see, people will do wrong. Remember we said sin is pleasurable for a season? The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. It would pleasure my sin, or my flesh, to stop off at the casino and play blackjack for about 8 hours and sit there in the party. That would be so fun for my flesh, right? Sin is pleasurable. It is. Gluttony, eating way too much, doing wrong things. It can be pleasurable to the flesh. The Bible says that. But it's only for a season, because then the reaping catches up. And then it's not so fun anymore. And that's like when people, they don't do the word of God. Well, I'm going to stop tithing. Think of all the money I have. And nothing changes for a while. Well, corn doesn't grow overnight either. Harvests don't come overnight, but they come. But they come. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so we saw that the devil lied to him, and we saw Adam and Eve gave into it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're in this mess we're in today in the world because of them. Now, let's give them a break. We'd have done the same thing. Don't go up there and get mad at them. Be nice to Adam and Eve when you see them. And think of it. Because of them, we get to use faith which pleases God. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to go up to them and shake their hand. Thank you for making things so bad. I have to use faith which pleases God. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. And so we saw that they came in, and we saw how the devil works through thoughts, right? He suggests things to you. He didn't force them to eat the apple. He suggested a lie to them, and that's what he does to everybody. He throws a thought into them. And so now we're going to look at, because it's important to see this, and we're going to bring this out tonight, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, we're going to look at where Satan's position is now on planet Earth. And it'll help you to get a better understanding of God. It'll help you with your relationship with God. And it also start to set the tables for this authority that you have. And so we're going to look at Satan's position now on planet Earth. Because remember, the Bible says that God gave Adam and Eve control. But did Adam and Eve obey God or did they obey the devil?
The devil.
They obeyed the devil, didn't they? So let me just, to prep you for this, let's take a look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Because remember, God's hands are completely taken off of the situation. He makes the earth. He provides everything they would ever need for it. And he says, you're in control. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. It says this. It says, here's what you have to understand about the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. The New Testament absolutely pulls off all the darkness and reveals everything in the Old Testament. And so we see in this verse that I'm about to read a revelation of what happened in the garden. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. You having trouble back there?
Yeah.
Well, let me just help her out real quick and get this going. Praise God. You'll get it figured out. Let's see here. Romans 6 and verse 16. Just double-click on the go live. And so in this verse, it says, know ye not. Well, if you don't know it, you're about to know. To whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey. This is a New Testament law now. It says, his servants you are to whom obey, whether it's of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Let me give you the Pastor Mike translation before I read it in the NIV, which brings it out clearer. He's basically saying, those people that you listen to, you are basically saying, you are my leader. I'm obeying you. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Basically, whoever you obey, you're saying, you're in charge of me. Well, it's like at a job, that if you're not the boss and someone tells you to do it, you're basically saying, you're in charge of what I do. Amen. Glory to God. And so let me read it in the NIV. It says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one you obey. Now, if you think of the term slaves, do slaves have a say? No, they don't. Slaves do what they're told by their master, by the one that's in charge of them, by the one that's over them. And he says, you are slaves of the one you obey. Well, when you obey somebody, the Bible says it's like likens you to becoming a slave. So when Adam and Eve obeyed the devil, guess what they became? They became slaves of the devil. And the devil now had control. And so it says, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. The Phillips translation says, you belong to the power which you choose to obey. Wow. So we see now from this verse, what happened in the Old Testament was that God said, the keys are yours. Just like if I give the keys to Jeff, he can do whatever he wants with that truck. He can keep it for the benefits of himself, or he can hand it off to somebody else. Exactly what Adam and Eve did. God gave them something. The devil came along and ordered them around. They decided to obey the devil. They gave then there the power of dominion over planet Earth to the devil. And now I'm going to show you in Scripture that the devil is running the show on planet Earth. The devil is the god of planet Earth. And some people hear that and they say, blasphemy, I'm not going to that church anymore. You're saying God's not in control of the earth? And I would say, yes, he is not in control of planet Earth. And let me say this, that if he is in control of planet Earth, he is one screwed up dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Because all you have to do is watch. Now, some of you are thinking, I just can't swallow this, Pastor Mike, that God's not in control. Well, I'm going to show you in the Bible, so just calm down. Praise God. And just watch the news one time. Just watch the news one time. And you'll say, my goodness, if my God's in control, he better go back to control school. He better go back and get his degree in how to control this thing. And I don't know who's going to teach him because he's the only one that started it all.
Right?
He started the world. So let's look now at Satan's position on planet Earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to keep going, Caitlin. Just catch up with me as I go. And if you're doing great. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says this. Actually, we're going to look at verse 3. It says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Remember, if you just double-click it, it'll come up. Just put 2 in there. Just put the number 2. It says in verse 3, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, now notice this, in whom the God of this world, do you see that?
Yeah.
The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm going to keep preaching this as I go. I'm just going to turn this off. We'll work on it later. It says, in whom the God of this world. Now, in verse 3, go back to verse 3. I'm just going to do this right now. We'll just work on this another time. Praise the Lord. It says, if our gospel is hid, is hid to them that are lost. Do you think that God wants to hide the gospel from you? The gospel is the one thing that's going to get you saved. The gospel, the word of God, is the one way that you find out Jesus died for you. And it died for you. It says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded. Do you think God would blind people's minds from receiving Jesus? That would make no sense. I'm going to send my son to die in the whole world, and then on top of that, I'm going to blind everybody's minds so they can't receive him. Duh. And notice God's not capitalized. It's little g. The God of this world. America. The whole planet Earth, all the continents. Right? Everything, every country. The devil is the God of that world, of the world that we live in. And I'll tell you what, why do I need to know this, Pastor Mike? Because if you are at all, nothing destroys faith more than thinking that your God is behind the wrong that's happening in your life. Explain to me, make that simpler. People that are believing for healing, we've seen that it takes true faith to get your healing. But if you're in faith, you can get your healing. How are you going to get your healing, which you're believing from God, if you think there's a small chance that God's behind your sickness or that God has anything to do with your sickness? Doubt's going to creep in, and when doubt creeps in, it cancels out faith, and you don't have true faith, which causes you not to receive. And so why do we need to know that Satan's the God of this world? So you can see that there's an enemy, so you can see that there's a devil causing horrible things to happen, trying to mess your life up. Because if he can get you thinking that, and let me tell you something, most Christians think God is the one causing the tsunamis. God is the one causing the hurt. The insurance companies call it an act of God. I mean, yep. And why did this happen? Why this person lost their child? This person, this happened. God took them. No. And the Bible's so clear about it. But we'll clear that up in a second. He says, the God of this world is the devil. Now you can see why things are in a mess.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If my God is... When you have control, you can change something, can't you?
Sure.
Listen, I have control in the church, the Bible says. The shepherd is the overseer. For example, the heat and the air conditioner. I set those temperatures. I can change those by going over there. Now, none of you in your right mind are going to get up during service and start messing with that because you know it's obviously set at the desire of what they've decided to do. Now, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if you did, but, you know, most people aren't going to be that brash and just to go do that. But I can change it because I have control. Or, for example, like at the Jamestown Church, they'll have a box over it so little kids can't go by. So, for example, there's certain people that have control over that by having the key. Which means because they have control, they can change it to 50 degrees. They can change it to 85 degrees because they have control. Just like someone that doesn't have the key doesn't have control. They can't change it. They can want to change it. They can freeze and wish it would be changed. They can sweat and wish it would be changed. But if they don't have the key to unlock that box to that thermostat, they can't change it. Well, that's the same thing. Sometimes I wonder if Christians lost their common sense. They say, they fight you for the fact that God is in control. Well, remember, control has the power to change. If God is in control, which means he can change, and there's innocent women that are getting raped every single day, There's little kids that are being molested every day. Kids that are being kidnapped every day. People that are being stolen from. People that are being abused. Every single day, if my God is in heaven seeing that go on, and he's got the control or the power to change it, and he's doing nothing about it, Houston, we got a problem. Because my God is a God of love. And let me tell you something. If I see my son, we have a little ditch at our house that's got some water in it, and it wouldn't be the end of the world if he fell in it, but man, why would I want to see my kid fall in that ditch and possibly get hurt? Or if I sit in there on the deck, and I'm watching, even more so when he's younger, when, you know, now he can listen and stuff. But even when they're little kids, you really got to keep an eye out. You know, their stairs, and when they're just beginning to walk, they don't know. They'll walk right off a cliff. A little kid will walk right off the Grand Canyon because they don't know. If I sit there as the parent with the ability to stop that, and I let that kid go off the cliff, there's a problem with me. And if my God's in heaven sitting back letting the terror and the horrible and the sadness and all the things that are going on in the earth, if he's sitting back letting it happen, we got a major problem with our God. But the Bible's so clear about it. And people think you're being blasphemous by saying God's not in control. No, you're being biblical. And we better start learning about our authority if we're going to act in authority. And this all has to do with our authority. The Bible says Satan's the god of this world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Praise God. This was one of the greatest revelations for me to beginning, and I by far don't consider myself a faith giant. I call those things which be not. I always say, Lord, I thank you, I'm a faith giant because I want to be those things. But to even begin to start having faith, I needed to know God was good, the devil was bad, God's not responsible for bad, the devil is. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course," now this is important to know, the course of where? Of this world. Talking about the here and now. This world, not heaven, not the eternity to come. We're talking in context about right here and right now, the where you're living right now. He says, according to the course of this world, now you ready? Let's talk. What it's talking about is when you were walking in this world as an unsaved person, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. That sounds like a royalty term. Sounds like a term of somebody that's in charge of some things. Sounds like a term of somebody that's got authority. The prince of the power of the air. Talking about this course of this world that the devil is not only called the god of this world that we live in, but he's also called the prince of it. Yeah. In charge, having authority. Glory to God. Go with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Because let me tell you what, if you think God's behind any of your poverty, any of your lack, any of your sickness, behind anything that's going on bad in your life, it will hinder and destroy your faith. I know a prominent Christian, I don't know them personally, but I know of them, who is bound to a wheelchair. Now let me just first say something about this Christian. Lover of Jesus. I mean, they love Jesus. They're as born again as you and I are. But they made this statement that God put me in this wheelchair for a purpose. Now, again, get your common sense thing out. Flip on the common sense switch. Does God call Christians children? He sure does. Imagine what you would think of me if I did something so horrible to my son or daughter to make them wheelchair bound the rest of their life. You wouldn't look at me and say, oh, what a sweet daddy. You'd say, somebody come in there and take his kids away from him. He needs to be in jail. I've heard before, again, and I don't know everybody's personal background, so if you've been affected or touched by tragedy, my goal is to not beat you up over that. My goal is to get you to see that, listen, God's not responsible for that he loves you, that he wants to bring you out, and he wants to stop those things from happening. Amen. But here's, I went to a Christian concert one time, 10,000 people at St. Bonaventure. A lot of people got born again that night. It was wonderful. But the main singer stood up and said, God has a sense of humor. He gave me ADD, attention deficit disorder. He's saying his daddy put a disease on him. And then I heard at the same concert, one of the opening artists on the piano, she got up there and she said, I wrote this song about a friend of mine. They're a couple, and God took their baby from them. And like glorifying God that God reached down and caused that child to be killed. If that's who God is, how would you ever believe him for healing? Because you think, well, maybe he wants me to be sick. Maybe he wants to, how would you ever believe for protection, which the Bible says you can have? Because maybe he just wants a deer to run out in front of me and I just get killed. Because you hear it all the time at funerals. You hear it all the time. I heard a recent funeral, and I won't name the specific thing, but a recent funeral, they said, this was God's purpose for this person's life. God is sick and twisted. If he's sitting up saying, okay, the plan I have for this person's life, ooh, I think it would be real neat to see him drive down a dark road at night and to have a deer run out in front of him, smash through their window and impale their chest. This isn't what the situation was, but those have happened. I think that would be neat for them to die like that. Think about it. I think it would be great to see a husband and wife who are so fond of their brand new baby. Why am I beating this? Because people need to hear this. I would be so excited to see a couple who's so thrilled to bring their baby home. And I think it would be neat that when that child's 2 years old, to take that kid from them. That's the plan I have. Come on now. Come on now. That's not God. That's not God of love. That'd be a God of twisted, sadistic weirdo-ness. Yeah. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Oh, I've heard it. There's a whole section in the book that it's actually done. I'm finished with it now. It's just in the process. There's a whole section about this. Because you'll never have faith for God if you think I think God's okay with me being poor. I think God's okay with me struggling. If you think that, you won't have faith. You have to go. The only way that you know things are going to change isn't by you. They're by God. You know God's going to change the problem. Well, how do you have complete faith in him if you're not 100% sure he wants the problem to change? Because you can't change it on your own. Oh, praise God. I'd love to go into every religious church and preach this message because so many people are being robbed from. Oh, God made me poor to keep me humble. God made me sick, you know. Just this was the purpose he had for me. Really? Uh-uh. No, it's not. No, it's not. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Talking about the devil being in control because it'll help clear some things up. Because you say, why did things happen? Why? Listen, we don't know the answer to every situation, but if we know that there's an adversary and an enemy out there going after us, it explains a lot. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil or tested. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, and of course we know this story, test him 3 times. Now it doesn't say this is the only time he was tested in 40 days. It just mentions these three for this situation or this day. It says, and the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's Jesus saying? It's not bad to get a piece of bread. Right. It's bad to go about it the devil's way to get the piece of bread. That's how it's bad. It's bad to, go ahead and hit black again. It's bad when the devil gives it that. That it's not bad when God does it, but he's saying, listen, I ain't going to get it your way, devil. Hallelujah. You can get wealth your way, but let me just tell you, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. You do it the devil's way and try to get wealthy, you can get wealthy and you can get gain. Oh, you can get 10% more every year by not tithing, but there will be sorrow attached with it. And 10% is just ground level. I know people are giving more and sowing more. And you could do things your own way. There'll be sorrow with it. There'll be sorrow with it. Anyways, and the devil, verse 5, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him, now this is what you have to understand, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. So the devil gave Jesus a vision where Jesus, because you can't stand up on a mountain and naturally see all the kingdoms of the world. You can just see basically what your eyes can see. But in a moment's time, Jesus had every kingdom of the whole universe flash before his eyes. And notice, this is what you have to see. Notice what the devil said to him. And the devil said, all this power and authority, that word's translated, will I give, ready? Will I give you. Why? And the glory of them. Now, this is what you need to see. For that, what is that? The power and the glory of all these kingdoms. For that is delivered. Everybody say delivered. Delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now he's saying, all the power, all the authority over all the kingdoms of the world. Remember, the God of this world. He's saying, I'll give you the power. I'll make you the God of this world because that power was delivered unto me. When was it delivered? 6,000 and some years ago in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve came along with the power and said, we choose to obey you. You be in charge. And then he stepped into that God of the world, the prince of the power of the air. Now, here's what people say. They say, oh, that's not true. The devil was lying. Well, let me ask you something. What's a temptation? A temptation is something that you're tempted to do, right? Let me give you an example. When I know I need to go to bed at night, the worst thing I can do is to hit channel 887, the outdoor channel, because I get tempted to stay up later. And sometimes when I know I need to go to sleep, I got a busy day ahead of me, or I know I need to get into the Word and prayer, and I need to go do something productive or go to bed or whatever. And if I'll turn on that channel, and if they're duck hunting, or if they're, hunting in Africa, that's something that has no appeal to me at all, and I am not tempted to sit there and watch that. It's not a temptation for me. But if I turn it on there and I hit info on the guide, and it says Iowa whitetails, oh boy, yeah. Now we're in trouble. Or the rut, whitetail rut is on. Oh man, I should have just never even turned the TV on. Yeah. That's a temptation to me. That causes me to, I have a choice to give into that or not. But see, the other shows weren't temptations. Well, the Bible says Jesus was led to be tempted, right? Yeah. That means when the devil said to him, I'll give you all this power, if it wasn't the devil's to really give Jesus, then it wouldn't have been a temptation because Jesus would have simply said, that's not yours to give me. Just like it wouldn't have been a temptation because you know it was false. It's like if somebody says to you, you know what, if you just go into that bank, hopping on one foot, singing as loud as you can, all that money in that bank will be given to you. You know that's not true. So you're not tempted to go hopping in there on one leg and singing at the top of your lungs. Just like the devil, when he said to Jesus, I'll give it to you, the only way for it to be a real temptation was if it was really possible. And the reason it was really possible is because he is the God of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He was given it. It was delivered unto him, hand-delivered by Adam and Eve. And so now Jesus, for a second, was tempted to fall down and worship him, to get those kingdoms. Thank God he didn't go with his temptations. See, stop beating yourself up for the wrong thoughts that you have. Just don't think on the wrong thoughts that you have. You know, people all the time, oh man, why do you think that? I'm horrible. What? You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest. Sometimes it'll launch a thought into your mind. It's like, where'd that come from? That's the most ungodly thing I've ever even thought. But just don't think on it. Say, I don't cast that thought down. I think holy thoughts. I think good thoughts. Amen. Praise God. And so Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. Why? Because the devil had control. John chapter 10 and verse 10, and we're actually not too far from quitting tonight. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Some of you probably heard me say that over and over, and you say, I don't believe him. It's probably going to be here in another 20 minutes. Well, we'll just follow the Holy Ghost and see. But anyways, John 10 and verse 10. I'll tell you, I could go into churches around America, and they would stare me out of the place, saying, God's not in control of planet Earth. God's not in control. I'd say God's not in control. And they would just look at me like I'm downright preaching the devil's doctrine when it's so clearly in the Word. See, people a lot of times don't like to have their pet doctrine stepped on. I had somebody that I tried to correct. Now, I am not lying to you. Would send me text messages every day praising me for how wonderful I am. I am not exaggerating. I was one time woodchuck hunting with Pastor Tim. And I got a text this morning. I said, look at this text. He said, whoa, who's that person? I wish they were in my church because it was Good Shepherd. You're so wonderful. You're such a blessing. Your teachings have changed my family. My life has been changed. And they called me one day. They didn't understand something that they saw in a book and in the Bible and the way that the person interpreted it and the way that the Bible's context was. And they were mad about it. And I said to them, I said, well, I don't care if you're right or if you're wrong, but the point is you want to come at this with a different angle. You don't want to start ripping, because they started ripping apart every minister associated with this person. I said, that's not the way to do it. Listen, you need to protect your love walk. We saw that on Sunday. You need to protect your love walk. I said, it doesn't matter if you're right or if they're right. Let's sit down and look at this in the Word. But next time, let's not, well, what happened was, and I didn't know this at the time, was that was stepping on their pet doctrine. There was something in their life that they did not want to let go of, that they were using authority over other people in a way they shouldn't. I mean, in a way they really shouldn't. I saw it firsthand. Using their authority, think I'm the ruler of the home. Listen, God made the husband the head of the home, not the Hitler of the home. He didn't make him the dictator of the home. And this was stepping on their pet doctrine, because the Bible talks about that husbands and wives are heirs together. That the husband loves the wife, and the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, but it's easy for the wife to submit to the husband when he's loving her like Jesus. Any woman on planet Earth is going to want to submit to somebody who's treating her like Jesus. And it's not the submission of you do this, you do that. It's, listen, I'm supposed to take the role of the head of the home. Let's do this together. Yeah, and like I say, you don't pet a dog this way, and you know you might not be able to find the stuff, but if you go back this way, and you, whenever you comb through that hair, you can maybe find some fleas or find some things. That person got their fur petted backwards, and I went from being hero to zero in 30-second conversation on the phone. Yeah, why? I'm telling you, people have their pet doctrines. I've been taught my whole life God's in control. Don't tell me he's not. That's what grandma said. That's what Pastor so-and-so said. I don't care. And who cares what I say? What does this say? Who gives a flip about Pastor Mike Anderson? I give a flip about the Holy Bible. Amen? Who gives a flip about what grandma said and grandpa said and minister on TV said or Pastor so-and-so that's been in the ministry 50 years? Who cares? What does the Bible say? And the Bible says, my God ain't in control. And if you had common sense, you'd look around and say, that's true.
Yeah. Amen.
He's perfect. You think he can't? You think he messes this whole thing up? He doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
He doesn't make mistakes. But he loved mankind so much. He didn't create a God robot that would say, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. No matter what, I'm going to do everything. No, he gave him the opportunity to say, I'm going away from you. I don't want to be with you anymore. The same thing, my wife has an open door policy. She can leave me anytime she wants. She doesn't have to stay with me. Nobody's forcing her to stay. There's no guns to her head behind closed doors. But because she stays, that shows me she loves me. She wants to be with me. And by God not creating God robots, he gave us, because he's a God of love. True love doesn't force. You heard about stories where, that Elizabeth Smart story, right? Where people are kidnapped. And they're forced to live with people. They're forced to, you know, that whole thing now with, they have that whole, that sex trading, where the people, they steal little girls and make them become sex slaves. And they're forced to do, that ain't love.
No.
It wouldn't have been love if God would have said, I'm going to program them to serve me and love me. No, love was, you have the opportunity to not if you want to.
Right.
Yeah. And so God didn't make a mistake by making Adam and Eve. His perfect love, he made them in perfect love, and they made a mistake.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad he didn't make me a God robot.
Yeah.
Because then what fellowship would there be? I'd be like, well, I'm forced to do this. That's the way I'm programmed. I love you because that's the way you made me.
Right.
No, I love him because he first loved me.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Glory
praise
to God.
God.
John 10 and verse 10 says, the thief cometh not, but he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, this is Jesus talking. He just gets done saying there's a thief and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Kind of sounds like, is sickness destructive? Oh, it sure is. Is poverty destructive and can steal from you? It sure is. Disease, absolutely, on and on and on. Is taking a two-year-old or a three-year-old or a baby at birth that God gets the credit for so many times, is that stealing, killing, and destroying? It sure is. Yeah. It destroys people. To kill, just awful.
Yep.
He says there's a thief that does that, but then he says, this is why I want to go into all these churches and say, wake up, America.
Right.
Jesus says, ta-da, I'm come.
Right.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Right.
I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. But yet people are all over the world giving God the credit for the stealing, the killing, and the destroying. Yet Jesus said, that's him, but I'm here. I'm different.
Yeah.
Oh, man, people need to hear this message.
Amen.
He said, I'm here to give you life and life more abundantly. Would we all agree that the devil's darkness? He is darkness. He's the epitome. You can just write these down as I go there. 1 John 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard of him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. Everybody say no darkness.
No darkness
at all. You know what's amazing to me? Would we all agree, that's 1 John 1 and verse 5, would we all agree that the devil steals and kills and destroys? Would we agree that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We would agree that that's his resume.
Right.
Well, if the Bible says there's no darkness in God, that means there's not one part of the devil in God, which means there's not one part of God that's stealing, killing, or destroying. Not one part. They don't mix. It's like people think God and the devil are going to the prom together, arm in arm, just partnering and doing the same things. Think about what God's children have accused him of doing. How much must break his heart?
That's true. Yeah.
That Amish killing a few years ago where I believe 8 children were killed and some adults were killed, and I heard on the Christian radio station, God had a purpose for this. God did this, but there was a reason he did this. I said, man, Lord, they're telling you that in your crazy mind, you wired somebody to go in there with a gun and mow down innocent little kids. You ever seen those Amish kids sitting on the horse? They're so darn cute.
Yeah.
You just want to squeeze all their cheeks and throw them up in the air and catch them. I mean, they're just adorable walking down the road in their little bare feet. Yet God goes in there and mows them all down because that's his purpose. Now, again, a lot of these people that are saying it, they're wonderful people.
Right.
They're lovers of God, but they're doing it in ignorance.
Yeah.
They're doing it in ignorance. Remember years ago, the woman that made her kids sick for the purpose of financial gain, she shaved her head and was given her sleeping pills to make her groggy. And when the daughter would sleep for a while, she'd wake up and she would tell her that you just got back from chemotherapy treatment. And that's why you're tired. So she had the daughter believe in it. She had the family believe in it. She had the community believe in it. They had a benefit, raised lots of money for her. And then they found out. Now, guess what? They didn't applaud that woman. Yay, you made your kids sick, like Christians are doing. Oh, God, you can do whatever you want. Make me sick. No, they didn't applaud her. They threw her in jail. And they called her a child abuser. Yet our God, his own children are saying in front of 10,000 people, God gave me a disease and a sense of humor. What would you do if I could inject Caleb with some kind of disease? I had a little thing to inject it, a little pill. You'd all just love me, wouldn't you? Think I'm just the sweetest guy. This is what millions of people are believing their God to do. 1 John 3 and verse 8, you're going to like this one. And I'm about done. 1 John 3 and verse 8. Now get this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now notice this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Remember Jesus just said, I've come to get, the devil's here to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm here to give you life. Now it's going to tell you again, the Son of God was manifested for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That doesn't sound like partnering with the devil. To destroy the works of the devil, what are the works of the devil? Stealing, killing, and destroying. And the Bible says Jesus is here not to take part in it. Jesus is here to destroy it. Remember Jesus said, I only do what I see Daddy do, and I only say what Daddy says, and my will on this earth is only the will of my Father. Remember he said that?
Yeah.
If God kills, if God steals, if God destroys, if God causes sickness, then in the 33 and a half years that we saw Jesus on this earth, which was represented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a little bit in Acts, we would see Jesus going around making people sick, making people poor, because why? If Daddy's doing it, he has to do it. He said, I only do what I see. It's called the Jesus rule, right? I'm only doing what I see my Father doing. We never see Jesus making anyone sick. We only see him healing. We never see him not providing. When people were in lack, he provided for them. He cared. He was compassionate. He didn't beat up the woman that was caught in adultery. He lifted her up and said, woman, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either. He was God of mercy and grace and love and kindness and increase in provision and health. Why? Because that's who his dad was. Yeah, it's true. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1 and verse 17. I have three more scriptures. James 1 and verse 17. I want to hammer this point home to you so bad. Because if you don't believe that God has every... He moved all his chips to the center when he sent Jesus. You know when people are playing poker and they take everything they have and say, I'm all in. Yeah. It's basically saying, I'm putting everything on this hand. I believe that what I got behind these cards is good enough to take everything. And Jesus, when God put Jesus on the cross, he put all his chips in and said, I'm changing everything for you on him. Yeah. James 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Now, get that. The Bible says good and perfect gifts come from God. Let me ask you, is ADD good and perfect?
No.
Is taking someone's child perfect? Nope. Is that a good gift? No, come on. Let's be honest about it. That's not a good gift. Well, let me read it in the NIV because you wonder what that means. What does it mean, no variableness or no shadow of turning? Well, in the NIV it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Now here it is, who does not change like shifting shadows. What's that mean? He only can give good and perfect things. Why? He can't change. From day one, he was the same. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Why? He can't change. It's in his nature. He's always only good. What does Hebrews 4 and verse 16 say? Let us come boldly to the throne of sickness, the throne of defeat, the throne of poverty, the throne of condemnation. No! The throne God sits on is the throne of grace and the throne of mercy. That's where he sits. And guess what? He doesn't change with a bad day. He doesn't change with economies. He doesn't change when things are going haywire in your life. He's always good. He's always provision. He's always love. He's always compassion. He's always kindness. 24/7, 365, forever.
Hallelujah.
And you can bank on that. And until you get to the place when your situation, and this will help you with your authority that we're getting to, that you say, there's certain parts of my life that do not look like this. Until you get to the place where you say, and I know you're not happy about it. I know you want for me worse than I want for me. See, Caleb thinks he knows how bad he wants that toy that makes him smile. He doesn't know how happy it makes Daddy when he's walking through that store, banging into things because he's got his face covered and he can't even see where he's going. He doesn't know how thrilled I am when I sit back and watch him on the playground. He thinks he's having fun playing at the playground. He doesn't know what it's doing to his daddy sitting there seeing my kid run freely and smiling and being full of joy. God wants it for you worse than you want it for you. And until you know that he is 100% behind me, you'll never have the faith that it takes. If you think at all, God's just trying to teach you a lesson in that poverty. God's just trying to teach you a lesson in that sickness. That's thinking that will destroy your faith that you need to receive. So, and this is where we're going to go next. Well, not next week, but the week after, because this coming week is the Pastor Webb meeting, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that's your opportunity to go to church during the week, and it'll be worth the drive. Like I said, Dr. Katie, you weren't here, but I'll re-mention this for people on live stream. Pastor Webb was the Durant's pastor. The things they bring were because that man put into them. He was one of Brother Hagin's spiritual sons. He would go into Pastor Webb's church, Brother Hagin, and he'd say, it's one of few churches I can come right in and step into the prophet's office. Sometimes he'd have 2-week-long meetings, never get into that office because the way the church was. He said that was one of the few places I could walk in and instantly get into it. That man's coming to Fredonia, and I've heard him many times. You will not regret it. He's one of the most awesome teachers of faith that there is. Just the revelation in his life. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 6, 7, and 7. And so anyways, we see that the devil's the god of this world. Oh, man, thanks, Pastor Mike, for that. Thank you that I'm living in this world run by Satan. Real encouraging. Glad I came to church tonight. Thanks a lot. Right? I mean, but I'm not going to leave you there, and this is what we're going to get into next week. Last verse, go to Romans 5. Romans 5. And this is what we're going to see next week. You're going to see that the devil, even though he's in control of planet Earth, if you are a born-again believer, he's got nothing on you.
That's right.
Romans 5 and verse 17, and we're going to close with this. talks about what we were talking about earlier. For if by one man's offense or one man's sin, death reigned. Isn't that true? Yeah. One man made a mistake and death entered in. Everything changed when Adam and Eve sinned. It said, one man's offense, death reigned by one. He said, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. How do you receive the gift of righteousness? When you get born again, the Bible says, you're then made righteous. So it's talking about when you become born again. It says, when you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, shall reign or have control or rule or prevail against, shall reign in the sweet by and by. That is not what it says. It says, when you receive Jesus, you shall reign in life. Life. You are meant, I laugh at certain religions that say, okay, this person's going to become a saint. I'm already a saint. This person, oh, it'd be great if I was a king. I'm already a king. Oh, this person gets studies to be a priest. I'm already a priest. The Bible says I'm a king and a priest. Yeah, it does. And I reign in life. And I'm a saint. I don't have to jump through no hoops to become a saint. I became a saint when I got born again. I became a king when I got born again. I became a priest when I got born again. So the Bible says, kings and priests. Yeah, Revelation if you need it. Praise the Lord. So he says, by one man's offense, death will reign, but you'll reign even more. So what am I pointing at? We're going to look at next week. Because some people say, well, if I'm supposed to reign by being saved, why aren't I? Because if you look around at the majority of the body of Christ, they're getting their rear ends kicked, right? I mean, let's be honest. The majority of the body of Christ are struggling financially. The majority of the body of Christ are struggling in their bodies. The relationships are bad. Their minds are as squirrely as a nut tree, right? It's true. It's true. The majority of the body of Christ are not reigning in life. Listen, when a king reigns, they have it good. They're wearing, they're eating, they're living, they're thinking, they're the good of the land is theirs. That's the way God intended it. And people say, well, why isn't it? Well, that's what we're learning about authority. But here's the thing, I don't want you to leave that thinking, holy cow, I'm going back out into a world run by Satan. If you're born again, you see, Adam gave it to the devil, Jesus came and got it back for the Christian. Amen. Satan's still in control of everybody but us. And he's only in control of you if you let him. And we'll see those scriptures next week. But amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You learned a lot tonight. God's good. The devil's not. You'll save yourself a whole lot of problems if you just remember that. God's good. The devil's bad. Amen. If you see bad, it ain't God. If you see good, it ain't the devil. Right. Oh, I preached myself so happy tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Amen. We love you. The fact that you're a good God. Yeah. You're a merciful God. You're a kind God. You're a loving God. Oh, Father, we love you tonight. We praise your holy name. You are a good, kind God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. Father, those things in our life that stand in our way from walking in your perfect will, Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt, you don't want them there. You are on my side. If you be for us, who could be against us? You've caused me to be more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We give you all the glory. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name. Before we close, is there anybody that would need hands laid on them for anything in their body tonight? If so, just come forward. We're just going to start putting it out there that the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes I just forget to do it. It's not because I don't believe in it, but we're going to start doing it more. And the Bible says signs should follow the word. And so signs are healing. Signs are answered to prayers. And so if you need anything in your body, anybody, just come on forward and I'll just pray for you real quick and we'll dismiss the service. Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Come on forward. You can come forward. Come on up. What do you need, brother? Okay. Sure. Okay, well, let's pray. And do you care? I just see in my spirit touching you in your stomach area. Is that okay if I touch you in your stomach? In the name of Jesus, we command this to be whole. We command this to work properly. And we just say, you get right. You get right, digestive system. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Now, from this point on, Tim, when you walk on, you say, Father, I thank you, you healed that. Every time you think of it, if you go out of here and you have the same symptoms, you just say, I thank you, that's fixed, that's fixed. That's how faith works, okay? Praise awesome, God. Brother. It'll be come to pass. Where's she at? Did you need something? Are you sure?
No.
Okay. Anybody else before we close? Need hands laid out? Father, we don't see any other hands, so Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Caitlin, you go ahead and just hit stop on that, and then I'll help you.